It was kind of fascinating to hear just how the sanctions against Russia just haven't worked out the way that we were thinking they would. You know, we were expecting all this massive chaos to happen right quickly, and some said it would take a year. We're 6 months in. Russia's not doing nowhere near as bad as we thought, because you know they've got allies too, and they learned a little bit from the sanctions imposed back there in 2014. So it's just absolutely amazing how. If you look at it from a biblical perspective, this is lining up so wonderfully, despite what all is going on with the war itself, economically, how it is helping Russia to be in position for them to go after Israel there in the latter half of the Great Tribulation period. It's exciting to me. I mean, I'm glad I'm not going to be here for the tribulation period. Amen. I have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hope you have as well. But we can look here, church. We've read the back of the book. We know we win. And we can look at all that's taking place in the world around us and understand we don't have to be ignorant. But we do need to be going out there and letting people know time is drawing short quickly. Amen. There ain't no time to be wasting. We need to get moving here. All right, now, just had to get that off my chest there. Let's go over to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 22. I want to read one verse here in chapter 22. Then we're going to flip over to chapter number 23. I just want to lift a couple of words here out of verse number 5 to help explain what we're where we're going to be at there in chapter 23. So 1 Samuel 22, verse number 5. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold. Depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. Okay, so he's now in the forest of Hereth here. Very important for us to keep in mind for the purpose of our sermon here. Chapter 23, verse number 1. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Verse 3. And David's men. Now remember, you've got these men who came to David because they had issues. They had issues with Saul, so they've come to David. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. Now this forest of Hereth is here in Judah. So we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Geography is something that much needs to be made about, church, when it comes to the Bible. If it wasn't meant to have much being made about it, it wouldn't be found here in the Bible. Okay? So David's men, they're here in this forest. And I want to look here at this forest. I want to look specifically at this thought of the forest of excuses. Because these guys here, they've got a forest full of excuses as to why they can't go and help Keilah while it is being attacked. It is under siege by the Philistines. Oh, and by the way, you and I, we've got a forest of excuses at our disposal too. Up to us if we're going to hang out in the forest of excuses or if we're going to do what God has instructed us to do. It's going to be our choice. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, though. Abba, Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity. stand here and bring your word to your people. And we do pray, Father, for your help, because, like I said, got a lot of excuses at our disposal. Reasons why we can't, we shouldn't, we don't want to do what you've called us to do. Father in heaven, we need a heavenly chainsaw to come through, heavenly lumber company come through and knock down these trees of excuses. Cut this stuff up, throw it over there in the wood pile so it can be burned up. Lord, we need to start letting the axes fly and clear the room so that we can do as you'd have for us to do. Take these excuses that the enemy gives us and turn them into lumber to build something great for you. According to your holy will, your design, what you've already laid on our hearts to do. Help us, Father, please. And we do pray, Father, for all my brothers as they stand to bring your holy word here today. Help us all, Father, please, to present the word today the way that you'd have for us to do. And that you would open up the hearts and ears of all of those who are hearing, whether it's live, in person, at the local assemblies. It is something that's taking place that's been recorded on down the road. CDs, tapes, MP3s, whatever, Facebook, YouTube, however it goes out. We know you've promised that your word will not return unto you void. And we're asking you, Father, please, to bless these few words that we're going to say here today so that it will bring back bountifully for your glory and honor. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. You know, forests can actually be pretty big. Now, I've listened to some videos about people who've gotten lost there in the woods, and people who've gone out exploring. We've read history, you know, men such as Davy Crockett, Daniel Boone, George Rogers Clark, these pioneers who've gone out walking, blazing trails for others to follow. They've cut their way through the forest to get to the other side, so on and so forth. But it's also easy to get lost there. If you don't know what you're doing, especially, I'm pointing at myself here on that one, because everything you get in there and it starts looking the same. The mind starts playing tricks on you. You start to panic. Where there's no landmarks. I mean, is that the same hill I just passed 10 minutes ago? It seems like I'm going in circles. I've been leaving breadcrumbs, but the birds are eating the breadcrumbs. There's that squirrel again. Everything looks identical. And the trees are so tall, and the canopies of these trees reach out so far that they are practically strangling the light before it can even get down to us, leaving us in the dark. And it happens the same way in the spiritual world as well. We get off the beaten path that the Lord has got for us. And it gets really dark. I mean, those paths will also go through the woods, but he's already blazed the trail. Remember, he is the first fruit. He's already gone this way. But yeah, we can be there on the trail. But the things around us, they draw our attention. They get us to want to focus elsewhere. Begin to obscure the path. That's why the Bible says that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We will get lost even though it looks like we're on the path if we're not using the Word of God to light the way. Amen. And when we're not using the Word of God to light the way, the trees surround us become even more powerful. But those trees are nothing more than excuses, church. And I want to look at some of these trees that are doing their best to become excuses for us. Reasons why we need to throw in the towel. Why we need to lay down and die. Why we need to quit. why we need to doubt what God has literally just told us. Because remember, back there in verse 2, David had already gone to God and said, God, should I go fight against the Philistines? And God says, go. You're going to win. But these guys, they freaked out over it. But before we go any further, let's actually sit here and get into our points today. As I want you to notice, verse number 3, we find the very first tree. It says, behold, we be afraid. See, fear of the enemy is a tree there's just a very thick bunch of these trees. There's a grove of trees, and they are grown very close to one another, so you can't really wedge yourself between them. They are all around you. They might be fat trunks, they might be skinny trunks, but the fact of the matter is, you ain't gonna just push your way through them without great difficulty. It's basically an army of trees. Fear of the enemy. Fear of the unknown. Fear this, fear that. Fear, fear, fear. That's what the enemy wants. Yet God says, fear not. These guys are already afraid of Saul. That's why they're there with David. They're already afraid of their own shadow. That's why they're there with David. David says, hey, God's told us to go to help Keilah and save him from the Philistines. We got to go fight the Philistines? David, don't you remember chapter 17? We were already shaking in our boots then. Granted, a couple years have passed, but you really think we've grown that much since? We're not even regular army. We're just a band of people who've gotten together. We can't do this. And how many of our churches act the exact same way? Think about this. The church relies so heavily upon the pastor to get so much done. And they've got the fear of going out there and witnessing to somebody. They've got the fear of going out and inviting someone to come to church. They've got the fear of all this interaction. That's why we're just a regular, common laymen and laywomen of the church. We're not the professionals. The pastor's professional because we pay him. The deacons are professionals. We've ordained them. Well, we can bring in someone to preach revival for us. We're going to pay them. They are professionals. They're the ones who need to be doing this. We can't do this ourselves. We're shrinking violets. And these trees of fear do their best to convince us, kind of like how the Israelites were. Those 12 spies, they crossed over and 10 of them came back and says, we were in our own sight like ants compared to them. That's how the enemy works. Gets us afraid. We're outnumbered. We don't know what's going on. They're outright the enemy. There's an army of them. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But we don't think about those things. Because we're too busy operating by sight and not by faith. And because we're operating by sight, well, I can see the enemy right there. I can see all the trees around me. I can see physically. I don't stand a chance. Whereas the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith can't see. Faith just believes God. We're walking through this forest, and as you look ahead of you, the way that your vision works, it just kind of narrows downward here. And so we see the trees, how they just seem to eventually crowd out the pathway in front of us. causing us to be afraid. Faith says the path still continues, though. There's a tree of failure that we might will have to contend with. This is a very tall, tall tree. And because it's so tall of a tree, it casts a very long, dark, deep shadow on us. I failed in the past. It happened there. That's why that tree is way back there behind us. So, and because I see the shadow way out in front of us, it obviously must be ready to happen again. I failed then, so I'm obviously going to fail yet again. These people said, we be afraid here in Judah, how much more than if we come to Keilah? They're already there, like I said, because of Saul. They had a problem with Saul. 1 Samuel 22:2, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented. These people are the ones who came to David. 400 men came to David. They said, we see how it went before. Four, do we really want to risk it happening yet again? They ran to David to get help. Not to be a help to somebody else. They done circled the wagons as tight as they can possibly get. And anybody who says, hey, we can go and do it, is throw him out of this wagon train. Let's pull the wagons in even tighter, you know. Failure. It goes hand in hand with fear. Because failure reminds you, you didn't succeed last time. And yes, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm under conviction right now just with this point. The church. A shadow is just that. It's a shadow. It exists because something is obscuring the light. The light has not disappeared. If the light disappears, you don't have shadow, you've got darkness. There's light still, which means we can still see the path. And shadows have no substance. Yeah, it reminds us that something's back there. But a shadow can't stop us. Don't be afraid of those trees that are behind you casting the long shadows. You come up to another tall tree and another failure. Well, you know, at least you've been going forward. And you'll end up in its shadow too. Keep going forward. Don't quit. Don't give up. So in the forest of excuses, there's a tree of fear, there's a tree of failure, there's a tree of forgetfulness as well. Yeah. See, not only is there that great big tall tree of failure casting that long shadow, there's a tree of forgetfulness that reminds us of the good times of the past. Trees with no good roots, they're just enough root to keep it locked into place. But what it does, though, is it helps us to forget that God took care of us once before. He'll do it again. They're afraid. Here in Judah, this is their home, they're afraid. They know Saul. The Philistines! Oh, we don't want to go fight the Philistines! But they forgot! Who killed the giant, church? Who killed Goliath of Gath, the giant Philistine. Give you a hint. His name's David. Same guy that they literally just ran to for help. The same one who slaughtered 200 Philistines to bring back the foreskins to pay as the dowry and to receive Michael as his wife. The same one who has won victory after victory, who they have themselves sung in song, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. But that tree of forgetfulness has caused them to forget this. Yeah. And it caused David to literally go right back to God a second time. They'd already forgotten that quickly. God said, let me read this to you. Verse 2. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? Let's just pause right there. David asked God, shall I go and smite the Philistines? Two things right there. Two. That's it. Count them. One, two. And the Lord said unto David, go. Okay, God, shall I go? God says, yes, David, go. And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines. David, shall I go and smite the Philistines? God says, go and smite the Philistines. So, one, two from David, one, two from God. One, two, question mark from David, one, two. Oh, wait a minute, there's a third thing here that God says. Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Yeah, it's a fortified city. They got walls, they got gates. They're in the middle of a siege. But they don't know the situation of Keilah. Keilah, by the time they get there, could have fallen. They might not have been prepared for siege. They might have already had to surrender. The Philistines might have been able to breach the walls already. It could have been already too late to save the Israelites there in Keilah. Yet God says, not only do I want you to go, but I want you to fight against the Philistines and drive them back. Oh, and by the way, you're also going to deliver Keilah. You're going to save them. They're not going to die. David comes back to the men. Hey, I asked God if we should go and fight against the Philistines. And God says, I want you to go fight against the Philistines and save Keilah. Boom! That quickly these guys forgot that God said, and save Keilah. We're afraid! We've already forgotten all that God's already done through you against the Philistines. Oh, we are failures. We can't do it. Verse 4, then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise. Come on, David, time to get up, get going. Go down to Keilah. For I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. How often do we get the same way? God tells us what to do and we forget just like that. Oh yeah, God did tell me that, didn't he? Wow, that wasn't exactly what I had in mind. Ooh, really? We're doing this already? Yeah. We hang around with that tree of forgetfulness real quick. Like I said, it's got the roots to hold it in place, but we knock it, we bump into it, it falls over, and we... What's going on? Huh? I forgot. That quickly. There's also a tree of foreign influences, too, there in these woods. These are the trees that are off to the side, they serve as distractions, to get our eyes wandering about, oh, I heard a hoot owl over there, and what was that movement over there, and the leaves are blowing over here. A couple of years back, I was at one of my stops, and I didn't have my glasses on. It's very early in the morning, you know, sun hadn't rose yet, and there's houses behind the restaurant, and I'm waiting on the guy to come open up the back door from the inside, and I'm looking, and I see these branches way off in the distance. Only I didn't realize they were branches. And my first thought is somebody's got an inflatable Tyrannosaurus Rex there, and it just keeps bouncing, you know, going like this, up and down, you know, slower. But the way the branches were shaped, I mean, like, and with my poor eyesight at a great distance, was, oh, man, someone got them an inflatable Tyrannosaurus. Why in the world do they have that? Halloween ain't still for another month or so. But sure enough, turned out once the light, you know, I got done at the restaurant, came out, and there's a little bit of light. It's just branches. I kind of felt a little dumb thinking that someone had spent money that way. But these foreign influences act the same way. They play tricks on our minds. Get us going and thinking things that we got no business thinking about, tempting us to do things we don't need to be messing with. 1 Samuel 27:1, and David said in his heart, now this is right after that second incident with Saul, when Saul himself has declared, I know you're going to be king. And Saul packed up and went home. It's done. David said in his heart, 27:1, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. What? God has promised you to be king? You yourself have said you're not going to raise your hand against Saul, so you know somebody else one way or t'other's got to get the job done. And now all of a sudden, you say, well, one of these days I'm going to perish by the hand of Saul. Because foreign influences are talking to him too, and he's finally starting to listen. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. Really, David? The enemy of your people, the sworn enemy of your people? That's where you opt to run to? And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. Yeah, Saul definitely stopped looking for him now. No need to look for David now. David done completely gone over to the enemy. Saul heard about it. It's like, well, I called that one. We'll see what happens. But here's David. He's finally allowing the influencers of his day who are not God, who are not one of God's prophets, to talk to David. David is allowing these people, these foreign influences, into his ears, and to get him to say, you know, it's something else entirely. I'm hearing things this way. I'm seeing things over this way. I'm surrounded. I'm encompassed here. I kept telling him, Saul's not going to stop. You can't win. This is over here is the real way. This over here is the real safe place for you, David. He was going in circles. He'd been going in circles for nearly 10 years at this point. Some of us will do the same thing in our own lives. We'll go in circles for years. Oh Lord, what should I do? Oh Lord, what should I do? Oh Lord, what should I do? And because we're so afraid of failure, we are so afraid of the past coming back and haunting us. We are allowing everybody to have their say in our lives. We're just sitting here turning in circles. We forget. The path's right there. Well, it might be covered over some. But we might have to get the flashlight of our Bibles out and start shining the light down there, find that path. We've gotten ourselves turned in circles. We need to find it again. We need to knock some of the dirt off the road that we've kicked onto the dirt. But we need to get out there and start looking for it. Instead of allowing these foreign influences to chew our ears. get us to where we've got no business going. But that's what David did. There's a tree of fatigue in here in this forest as well. I'm too tired to keep going, Lord.
Well, I'm so tired and so weary, but I must go along.
Don't ever get the attitude that you must, church. And let me tell you, when you do get that mindset that I must go along, that's a sure sign that you are rubbed up there real close against that tree of fatigue. And you just ain't got the effort no more to do it. You see, these trees of fatigue are the ones that block our path because they've been blown over by the storm that has already come through. The same storm that we think is going to destroy us this time, it knocks down all these other trees. It's blocking the way for us. And they will last as long as we allow them to last in our lives. 1 Samuel 30, verse 10, David and his men, they've been expelled from the Philistine army. They come back to Ziklag and found that Ziklag had been destroyed and all their family had been taken hostage. Verse 10 says, but David pursued, he and 400 men. He had 600 at this point, had 600 to attack Keilah. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And these men, they were trained by this time. They were soldiers at this time. But they were fatigued, worn down, tarred. Couldn't go on no more. They had been running off of zeal. They had been doing everything in their own strength, in their own way, in their own power, in their own mind. Got so far out there and said, that's it, I just can't go any further. They let the world beat up on them. They let their failures encompass them. And their fear drowned them. And they sat down, so we just can't do it anymore. And we get the same way in our own churches. I've been the only one hauling the water for years. I've been the only one that comes in and cleans the church. I've been the only one who comes and shovels the snow. I've been the only one mowing the lawn. I've been the only one in my pew. I've been the only one on my half of the church for years. I've been the only one. I've been the only one. And we have fatigued ourselves because we're so much looking inward to ourselves one way or another. And we've forgotten to be looking outward to God and to be drawing strength from Him. And we say, oh, I attend church, but we ain't been reading our Bibles. Oh, I've been singing the songs there at church, but we ain't been memorizing the Scripture. Oh, I've been praying at church, but we ain't been praying at home. And we wonder why we're so sick and tired of it all. Because you cannot be a Christian one day a week and take 6 days off. God made 7 days in the week. 7 days for us to be Christians. Oh, but preacher, God made in 6 days and He took the seventh day off. Therefore, at least one day a week I get to be a regular human being. Show me that in the Bible. Well, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Show me that in the New Testament. Guess what? You ain't going to show me that in the New Testament. 9 out of 10 of the Ten Commandments are in the New Testament. But remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy, not to work on the Sabbath day, you ain't going to find that one in the New Testament, but you will find in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is our rest. Therefore, we are to be Christians in full service to our Lord 7 days a week. You see, serving the Lord His way will strengthen us, give us the more endurance. Yeah, I realize we're going to have times we're going to need to slow down, not work as hard, let someone else do the cleaning, shoveling the snow, whatever the case is there. Even the pastor occasionally can have somebody else preach a sermon for him and let himself take a breather and get right back up there the next time. And I ain't talking about just bringing in someone for a revival. You know, it's personal opinion on that one. Fact of the matter is, though, we let fatigue rule us instead of us walking right on past it and dutifully serving our Lord. But the sixth tree here in this forest, we're coming quickly to a close here, are the frivolous saplings. You know, short trees, you know, until they actually get up big enough where we no longer call them saplings. They've grown so that they're now trees themselves. They start off with little seeds and they just begin to keep on growing and growing and growing. And those seeds fall into cracks. They fall in the dirt, they get covered a little bit of dirt, and they send that root down, and they start growing upward. Those frivolous saplings are the trivial stuff we allow in our lives, that surround our lives. These things that, well, I need to take care of this, and it causes me to lose focus on the main thing. We stop letting the main thing be the main thing, and we start worrying more about these little things here. Oh, look at this poor little sapling. I can't do nothing to it because it hasn't had a chance to live. Step on that sapling and keep going. We're supposed to be getting out of the forest here. We're supposed to be on the path. That sapling has fallen into a crack there in the path. Step over it and keep going down the path. 1 Samuel 30, verse 22. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David. This is after they've conquered the Amalekites and got back all their family, all their goods, and said, because they went not, talking about those 200 men by the brook Besor, because they were too fatigued, they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Get gone, we don't need you. We're going to focus on these little things. You didn't go with us to the battle, therefore you don't deserve nothing. We don't care what David thinks. You didn't go, so you don't deserve. We don't care what you think in our church. You're not part of the clique. We don't care what you want to do. All we want is your money in the offering plate. Stepping on some toes, I imagine. We don't care what you think because you're not popular. We don't care about this, that, or the other because we're focused on the little trivial things instead of the bigger picture. And I realize there's a great many things that we need to be focused on when it comes to the trivial things. Because without those trivial things, we don't get the bigger ones done. I'm talking about the trivial nonsense that we don't need to be fooling around with that causes problems in the church, that causes problems in our lives, our vain traditions, the things that we just got to do because we've been doing it for years because our family's the one in charge. The things that take us away from what God wants. That is trivial nonsense. It's frivolous. We need to put it behind us and get going for God. These men here, these 400 men, they forgot that there was equipment that they left there at the brook Besor. They stayed there with the stuff at Besor, these 200 men. It was just as important to guard that equipment, those supplies that they left there, as it was to actually go into battle. They forgot that. The person who shows up and sits on that back row is just as important as the person who sits on the front pew. The person who prays sitting in their seat during the altar call is just as important as the one who prays there at the altar. The person who's not part of the clique, they're just as important to God as the person who's in the clique. Don't worry about the frivolous nonsense of this world. Be concerned with the things of God and His people. We start looking around, we're going to see all the little stuff. And it's going to take our eyes off the big picture. Once these men back here in chapter 23 stopped focusing on being in this forest of excuses, they marched down to Keilah. And there at Keilah, they won the victory. They defeated the Philistines. They captured the supplies of the Philistines, stuff that they were going to need for their own little army, stuff that they were able to return to Keilah. They rescued Keilah and were able to get out before Saul got there to arrest them. God did everything He said He was going to do. Once they got going. But I want to point this out to you here in closing. Trees. They are planted. They have roots that they've driven down into the ground. And no disrespect to J.R.R. Tolkien and his Ents. But trees don't get up and start walking around. They're staying in place. Oh, they might fall over, get knocked down, cut down. But they're not going to pick themselves up and walk over and stand in front of you all over again. Which means we can walk around them eventually. We can walk out of that forest. We could stay there on the path and go where God wants us to go. We don't have to use any of these excuses to not stay on the path for God. To not get the victory God has promised us. Because excuses are just that. Excuses. They're not victory. I got just one question and a statement in closing here for you today. The question is this. Are you hanging out with any of these trees? And the statement is this. Now is the time to get our eyes back on the path God has laid out before us. My Father in heaven, thank you, God, for the opportunity to stand here and bring your word to your people today. I pray, Lord, that everyone here was able to get what they needed out of the sermon. That we will stop with the excuses. That we will stop with all the nonsense. Get right with you. And get the victory that you've promised us. Help us, Father, please, with this. In the precious name of Jesus, we do ask you. Amen, amen.